Welcome to the Covert Nerd Podcast. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Please take a moment and pause this podcast right now and share it with somebody who you would think would enjoy the same topic, whether it's a family member, friend, coworker. I would really appreciate it. Please go to covertnerd.net for all of the previous episodes and the different ways that you can get in touch with me. And without further ado, let's dive right in and nerd it up. We've got another fun episode lined up with some familiar guests. I've done episodes in the past with these people, so I'll put a link in the show notes for the past episode. We have Daphne here and Eddie from the You Choose podcast, and then my daughter Ruth.
Hello.
Not only is this familiar, it's familial. These are our kids.
Yeah. True.
It's a family affair. What we're going to do today is we're going to do the TV intro tournament. What we're going to do is play 80s TV intro for everybody. And we're going to get some reaction from the girls because they did not live in the 80s, but Eddie and I did. And we just kind of want some of their feedback and laughter. I know the girls are going to laugh. This is just bonkers. You're not. How can you not? And then I got the brackets up here and we'll see who wins. We've got eight TV shows, eight TV intros, and then we'll see who we all pick as the winner. So are you ready?
Exactly.
I'm beyond ready.
You're beyond ready. First up, we have Who's the Boss? So I'll just list off all the TV shows and then we'll get started. Yeah,
for the listeners there at home.
Yeah, for the listener. Thank you. Who's the Boss? Turbo Teen. So those two will go against each other. Dungeons and Dragons versus Knight Rider. Manimal versus Transformers. And then Star Trek The Next Generation versus G.I. Joe. So we'll start
I love that we've pitted animation against a live action show, because we're not doing we're not doing Turbo Teen versus Dungeons and Dragons. No, you got to earn your spot there. Who's the Boss?
That's right.
Against some of these are insane. Anyway, without further ado.
Yes, without further ado, let's get started. We'll go left to right. We'll start with Who's the Boss versus Turbo Teen. So this will be Who's the Boss.
I love that he's vacuuming the curtain.
Yeah, that's of course
great.
Quirky.
That's on my chore list every day.
Oh my gosh, great.
That was great. Yep.
You don't get more 80s.
Have either of you seen this show, Daphne or Ruth?
I not say I have. A lot, I feel like sitcom-y 80s, I did not really get very educated.
Yeah, no. I spared them some of that.
What was the one Michael J. Fox was in? Was that one?
Family Ties.
Family Ties.
I think we rented that one from Family Video for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. But we did watch the Family Ties episodes. Now, we should go straight to the other one and then
keep your pick.
And then we'll talk about it.
Have you, you've never seen Who's the Boss, have you, Ruth?
I have not. That was my first experience with Who's the Boss.
Okay. All right. Let me get this queued up.
I can't even. This is one of the
next is Turbo Teen.
I'll be quiet. Turbo Teen.
We'll just let you enjoy the fun here. Let me get started.
I'm so excited for this. Right. This is great.
It was a stormy night when a bolt of lightning forced me off the road. My car skidded into a government laboratory where a top secret experiment was underway. I swerved into the path of Dr. Chase's molecular transfer ray, causing me and my car to become one.
What's happening? No!
Incredible.
Yeah. Let them go. Oh my god.
There you you go. That is Turbo Teen.
What?
Turbo Teen.
So are we saying like whether or not this was like relevant to like, so I assume this is literally what the show is about. Like this kid is a car.
You tell us.
Yeah. You're pretty much on the.
But can he like go back and forth?
He can go back and forth. So they don't necessarily reveal that in the intro.
He can or he can't?
He can. Okay. He has the ability to go back and forth. So he gets hit.
He's not
this is where it's
a car.
It's a total 80s thing. If he gets hit with hot water, he turns into a car.
Hot, like the like what? How is that relevant to like a car?
Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
He gets hit with cold water, he turns back into a teenager again.
Yeah, so it's like H2O Just Add Water, which is a show that's...
I was just thinking of that.
Yeah.
Except it makes sense because they're mermaids.
Right.
Mermaids get wet. Cars, that's not... Nope, it doesn't make sense.
Picture a mermaid, but it's a car.
It's a car.
This brought into a case a lot of discussions in my friend group, Lee. I don't know about you, but it was like, what if you had something in the trunk and he turned back into a teenager? Now it's like stuck in his body. He's like, "Oh, your roller skates are now inside my kidneys." You know,
the show that is a Robot Chicken or one of those parody shows. They did an episode with Turbo Teen, and they went through the exact same thing you were talking about. What happens if I leave something in the trunk?
He got into a car accident. He rear-ended somebody, and he morphed back into a teen. And he's like missing all of his teeth. He's like, "Ah."
A little bit on both of these. So Who's the Boss came out 1984 through 1992. It ran 8 years on ABC. And then Turbo Teen was just 1984. I think they only had like 12 episodes.
Season. Yeah.
And the concept for the cartoon, it was on USA, by the way, is based on the popularity of Knight Rider in that it was a computerized talking car and all that. So, and the car was actually a Pontiac Trans Am Camaro mix. So it was riding on the waves of the Knight Rider craze back in the early 80s.
I was wondering if that's what they were going for, because it kind of looked like it was Knight Rider inspired when he transformed into the car.
So what about
Except
Who's the Boss?
Got bones inside the car.
Yeah, exactly. What about Who's the Boss, girls? Did you get an idea of what's going on there or not? Well, tell us what you think was what the show's about.
I would say just like quirky family shenanigans. Who's the Boss? I don't know if it's like a hierarchical kind of like this is a like who is the like boss of the alpha of the family kind of thing, like where the power lies. That's me reading into the title a lot. But
what about you, Ruth, after watching the intro, what do you think the show's about?
Yeah, it does seem just like a quirky family sitcom, and it just seems, I mean, maybe since there's no mom, that's why it's called Who's the Boss, because it's like all three of the adults are helping take care of the kids. Don't know if that's what the premise is about. But I will say I do love the 80s hair and clothing.
Yes.
Just on this alone. So maybe it's his adventures being a dad. I don't know. I don't even know if that guy's like the dad, but I would assume so.
Okay, yeah, Eddie, you want to explain Who's the Boss?
Can I lead with this?
Yeah, go ahead.
I forget Tony, the character, Tony's last name.
Oh, gosh.
In the show. I forget his last name.
Yeah, let me
find out. The premise of the show, episode one, is
Tony.
That
his name's Tony in real life, in the
show.
Yeah,
Tony, but his last name is something different. They didn't
Michelli.
Call him Danza.
Tony Michelli.
Yeah. Tony and his daughter, Samantha, they're from the Bronx in New York. And Tony's wife dies. And he's like, his kid, Samantha, gets into a fist fight at school because New York's a rough place. He's like, I got to get her out of here. So he looks for jobs that take them out of New York City. And he finds a wanted ad in the paper. That was a thing, girls, before the internet, newspaper. I know, Daph, I'm sorry. Anyway, the point is, he finds an ad for a housekeeper in the paper, and he's like, I could clean like anybody's business. Let's go do this. Bada bing, bada boom. So they get in his van, essentially, and he used to play professional baseball, but he got injured. And this is on the show. So he can't make baseball money now. He's got to go get a job. Wife has died, so him and his daughter are, you know, looking for a new life in Connecticut. That's where he finds the job. up in those smaller New England-y states, getting over to Connecticut from New York is not that big of a deal versus like when you live over west of the Mississippi, these states are huge. So it's like, you know, going to a whole new state's a bigger deal. Anyway, so Angela, I believe she's divorced, right, Lee? Like her husband
yes,
didn't die.
She's divorced.
Yeah. Angela lives with her and her mother, Mona.
Mona.
Mona. Lives with her daughter, Angela, and their son, Jonathan, in this house. She's recently divorced. And Angela is a high-profile, high-powered businesswoman who is looking for a housekeeper to clean up her home while she's busy working and being a, you know, progressive 80s lady. And so it totally goes against these like old tropes where it's like, can a guy even do housework? Like that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so the comedy here lies in a little bit of a gender bending for the time, 80s, the idea of a man staying at home and cleaning the house as his job, literally getting paid to do that. And her being the more breadwinner of the family. And they're not romantically entangled at first. Spoilers, kids.
Yeah.
Because you can't do an 80s show.
A little romance if there's going to be.
Yeah. But in my opinion here, it was pretty funny and quirky in some ways. A lot of it came like culture clash, where you had like a working class Italian family versus a very like waspy New England wealthy family, and how they kind of like... So some of that, but yeah, that was the basic premise of it. So
pushing gender stereotypes.
Yeah, and the dynamic was him and his daughter were rough and tough, and
Angela
mm-hmm. and the son were kind of, you know, passive and just kind of wimpy. So that dynamic, and the Mona, the mom living with them, was kind of just pretty rough and tough. Well, not rough and tough. She was just not prim and proper like Angela.
Yeah. It was very like, what's the word? Yuppie. That was kind of the thing back then too. Like this notion of like prim, proper, well-behaved, corporate-y, toe the line, make the money. You know, you're basically how nice your stuff is how well you're doing in life kind of thing, versus this notion of the Tony and Samantha dynamic where it's like, they're doing great. You know, they don't need all these things. They have each other kind of thing. It was a fun thing, but yeah, that's kind of the premise of it.
All right, who wants to vote? Who what do you think? Turbo Teen intro versus Who's the Boss intro, just based on the intro.
Turbo Teen easy.
It has a wow factor to it.
Yeah, it's only 12 episodes. It's like,
it's pretty unanimous there, Lee.
Yeah,
well, and also you get the whole first episode in the intro. I do. Right. I think I like it when shows do that. I think it's kind of amusing when shows do that, when they just smush in a bunch of story in the intro, because then whoever's watching can just watch it and it's fun.
You're like, I know what it is.
Yeah.
Not that we're voting, Lee, but I think Turbo Teen is a better job of telling you what it is in the intro. True.
If we're voting on that.
It's so trippy watching this kid turn into a car. I mean, you're just, it only had like 12 or 14 episodes. And I think, Eddie, you said you can't find it on DVD. I looked. You can't get it anywhere.
Yeah. And it's rare, like, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. If you can find a Turbo Teen DVD and you're listening to this, let us know.
Turbo Teen, this probably prompts a different episode at some point, but we should do just strictly animated bonkers cartoons that never took off type episode for the kids, because this is...
Yes.
And I don't think this had a toy line, Eddie. I mean, all of our 80s cartoons had toy lines, and this one didn't.
There were some that didn't. There was a few others that actually didn't. I mean, Dungeons & Dragons didn't have any toys until recently. You know, so there's quite a few cartoons that got kicked off in the 80s that...
D&D, in fairness, is pushing the game. You know, they're selling the game, really, essentially. Was. All right, so Turbo Teen,
unanimous vote between the two kids.
Okay, yes. So the next one,
youngsters,
is Dungeons & Dragons versus Knight Rider. So let's get this queued up.
Is that Davey? Is that Davey Hassie?
That is Davey Hassie.
My gosh.
D-Hoffs.
D-Hoffs.
All right, we'll do D&D.
Hey, look!
I'm excited for this one.
I don't like this.
Whoa! What's happening?
Oh my god.
This is what I told Leaving Mormonism would be like.
Transformed. Fear not, Ranger. Barbarian, magician, thief, cavalier, and acrobat.
Who was that?
That was Venger, the force of evil. I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
That was amazing.
That was great.
It's just,
although that's just, I felt like I couldn't blink. There was so much going on in that intro.
No, I was like, yeah.
Don't blink.
Yeah, I missed the whole intro.
Let's do Knight Rider. Thank you. There we go.
Shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man who does not
exist.
He
doesn't even need to drive on the road. That's so cool he is.
Michael Knight, a young loner on a crusade to champion the cause of the innocent, the helpless, the powerless, in a world of criminals who operate above the law.
This one's harder. This one.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little less easy on that one.
Yeah. Knight Rider. That one caught me off guard. I was thinking that the live actions were just going to be a little bit not subpar, but like what you can convey in animation is just a lot more surreal at times. That being, especially with the D&D one, like what Ruth was saying, like every step, there's something else happening. So that was cool. I liked it, but it was kind of, that could detract from its ultimate score for me also. But
Knight Rider's a lot more cinematic than
Barry.
I've never watched that whole thing. Also, that was my first time watching that whole intro.
Have either of you watched either of these shows?
I have not.
I've probably seen snippets of Knight Rider, Dungeons and Dragons. I remember I always saw it on TV. Like the intro, I remember would always play, I think, on like commercials or whatever. Because I remember watching the intro a lot, but never actually watching the show.
Now, Daphne might not remember this, but I bought Dungeons and Dragons on DVD. I got the whole, saying the whole series is a bit strong because I don't think it lasted long on TV. I think there was maybe two seasons, maybe.
83 to 85. So two seasons, yes.
Yeah. And so we actually owned this on DVD for a few years. And I think it's one of those things, just like what Ruth said, I think I would hit play. You would see that it was an old cartoon and you kind of walked away.
I'm out.
I don't need this.
There's two great episodes, and Eddie will know this one, The Dragon's Graveyard. It's a revenge episode. This one was, ooh, this is what got it canceled because the kids, Venger, the evil guy, who is Peter Cullen, by the way, Eddie. His voice.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, he Optimus Prime's voice.
Oh,
so
oh.
Anyway, they go and try to kill. They get mad because they're trying to get back home. That's the premise, and Venger keeps thwarting their attempt to get back home. And finally, they've had enough, and they snap, and they try to kill Venger in the show.
Oh my gosh.
And parents got pretty upset about that.
Well, and D&D already had enough. Kind of against it. Parents were just waiting to kill this thing. They hated it so much. Because it got, I mean, between heavy metal and Dungeons and Dragons, parents were convinced that the pop culture was trying to yank their kids straight to hell.
I was wondering.
Satanic Panic, they called it. Yep.
Very much part of the Satanic Panic. The fact the cartoon existed at all to me was a miracle, you know? So, yeah. going to push the envelope when just by you existing is pushing the envelope. I think you got to know how hard to go. And they were like, we're going to try to kill somebody. And they're like, all right, your cartoon's dead. Look at that. Look what got killed.
Yeah.
Look what got killed, you fools.
And spoiler alert, Venger is actually Dungeon Master's son. They reveal in the series.
Oh.
He's the kid gone bad. But in an unreleased episode called Requiem, and it's on your DVD set, Eddie, they did kind of a radio dramatization of the last episode. And finally, at the end, Venger comes back to the good side.
Oh, that's good. I remember the show ending. They got home. Didn't they actually do that? Didn't they wrap
They never
that
released
up?
It, but in the audio drama, the final draft of they wrote the episode, but it was never released. So they put it on the DVD as an audio drama, and they get back home finally, and Venger turns to the good side and stuff.
And and this did succeed. I couldn't get near D&D as a kid who was raised pretty hyper religiously, so it was not happening. Like the fact that I had a Castle Grayskull, I knew it was already good enough. I couldn't push it even harder. But it did pique my interest. So anytime I had friends at school who had a D&D book or whatever, I was just trying to my best to kind of jump in and figure it out.
I got scolded so bad. I've played D&D on ColecoVision. There's a D&D video game on ColecoVision. And I told my parents I played it. I got the what for, man.
Uh-oh.
I had opened the door to hell, Eddie. I was ready to jump in.
I know. You had the key. You're like, here I am. Beelzebub, let me in. And then Knight Rider, real quick, was such a success. I mean, this thing spawned several TV movies. Later on, they kind of relaunched this about 10 years ago or so.
Yeah, they tried. It didn't do too well.
Yeah.
But 82 to 86 on NBC is when Knight Rider ran. And it was so popular that Pontiac, who made the Trans Ams, they couldn't keep up with the sales. Everybody wanted a Trans Am when this came out. The sales for Trans Am just skyrocketed. Yeah. And we got Turbo Team because of it. So,
hey, okay. It's worth
and
it.
Dude, black leather jackets and dudes getting perms, too. That was a thing.
Don't
so,
what do you think, girls, the intro, what do you think? They explain what the show's about, you think?
I would say so.
Because there's not much to Knight Rider. It's just a guy saving people in his fancy car, driving around.
Mm-hmm.
The car does talk. They left that part out in the intro. Yeah.
What about D&D? Do you get an idea of what the show's about from the intro?
Yes.
Because they're like at the dungeon, the
theme park. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Park. Oh yeah, they're at the theme park initially, and then it kind of just they're at the table.
The ride takes them to
another realm, another world.
What happened? Go then too, where they at the theme park and then.
So they get transported to the Dungeons and Dragons world, and they're trying to. The whole premise is them trying to get back home. That's what they try to do is find ways to get back home, and they help other people in the meantime, and that kind of thing.
So it's like a Jumanji.
There you go. Yeah.
It is very Jumanji-like.
Okay.
Good comparison.
Gary Gygax has a book, or they have a book about Gary Gygax, recommended if you're a D&D fan, or even if you're D&D adjacent, talks about him going to Hollywood to kind of pitch this cartoon, and it's a real good book, but it's kind of a big deal. All right.
Yeah.
Voting time.
Voting time, ladies. What do you think?
I don't know. This is, I really liked the Knight Rider intro. I really liked the soundtrack. I liked
the music.
I felt a little more intrigued. And I don't know if that's because I haven't seen Knight Rider yet.
We'll have to do the fight music, Eddie, if we're going to.
Yes.
All right.
I kind of like the Dungeons and Dragons one better.
Okay.
But it's because I would maybe watch one episode of Knight Rider, but I think I would actually stay watching longer with Dungeons and Dragons just because it has a charm to it. I don't know. I like it.
Okay.
I think it's
great.
We're
split. So, Eddie, we're going to get the coin out just like we do on You Choose. So,
we'll do
heads, D&D, tails, Knight Rider.
Okay? I like it. That dragon has like 8 heads on it. So, we got to.
Heads, oh. D&D.
D&D. Made it through.
Made it through this time.
Just got to point out that that was a close call, a split decision on that one.
That was. So next, we're going to do... This is going to be the bonker. Oh, man.
Oh, God. Manimal. I can't believe you busted out Manimal. The next time, we need to bust out... Oh, Daff, you're not ready.
You thought Turbo Teen was trippy. I mean, this one...
Oh, this is...
You're not ready. I don't want to even set this up. Just hit play.
Yeah, I'll just play it here in a second. All right. Just get ready.
Okay.
Wow.
It just ends the saying the title. That's
what
funny.
Is that? Oh my gosh.
That was great. I love that. It was a lot to process. It was
a lot to process.
I don't know what that was.
See? Yeah.
Well, that's good.
All right.
This probably won't be as surprising.
Okay. Yeah, this one, I know both of you had some familiarity with, but
exposure to a little bit on this one at least.
Oh, that music. The Transformers, more than meets the eye. Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. The Transformers, robots in disguise. The Transformers.
My God, how are you putting these two against each other? What?
How can you not? All right, we got to go to Manimal. We got to discuss Manimal. About it.
Just transform.
What the? Okay, what is Manimal though? Because that was just like comically bad.
Yeah.
And like the transitions to people's faces where they're just like.
Do you know? Does it sell what the show? What do you think the show Manimal?
What's the show about?
Why is there a puma jumping through my stained glass?
Okay, I have a guess. I think, yeah, I don't know why the puma was reoccurring so many times also throughout the intro, but does he transform into different animals?
She nailed it. Good nailed job.
It. It clicked at the end. I was like, oh, he transforms into different animals, but it's not clear at all that that's what's going on.
No.
He can also, yeah, change into like, he's like graphic, text also.
Yeah.
They're like, this puma cost us $50,000. We're going to get as many shots with that dang puma as we can. What can it do? I don't know. It can jump through glass. Let's do it.
Here's the tagline. A suave and elegant university professor who can shapeshift into any animal fights crime along with the female New York detective and his right-hand man.
That's too much. And who's also a model, is also an animal and a puma and a hawk, has this 80s perm by they checked every box of that show.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen it then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yes. How does it rank?
It didn't last long.
It only had one season.
I could believe that.
It came out in 1983. The series was wildly successful in France. It boasted many reruns, and each time the ratings went through the roof. In 1988, it was rebroadcast in a format where viewers had to phone in. It's a pay per minute back then. Remember, we didn't have free long distance then. To choose the TV series they wanted to be air. And by a landslide, voters chose Manimal.
Wow.
El Manimal Humor.
Yes.
El Manimal.
Limb anymore.
I rewatched an episode a few years ago just to, because I remember seeing it when I was a kid and thought it was cool, but it does not hold up well.
It doesn't look like it.
It looks.
But when you're 7 or 8 or whatever, you're like, this is cool. A guy that changes into animals.
True.
And I think the whole. Oh, go ahead, Daph.
I just said, I'm sure they had fun filming it. It looks like it would have been fun to film. It's just like animals everywhere, but.
I think the whole premise of it too was classic 80s cultural appropriation as well, because they were like, didn't he gain his powers by like some trip to like Africa and he got some like sacred idol?
Oh no.
Like some white guy's in Africa and he got a thing and it gave him powers.
Yes, I believe so. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, you're right, Eddie. Of some African shaman that gave him the powers or something.
Yeah. Oof, that's rough. That did not transition well.
Classic 80s. I was like,
no.
This guy's a wealthy, good looking professor. Let's give him superpowers too.
Yeah,
So does he fight crime?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he helps that the girl in there, the blonde, is the detective, and he helps her solve these crimes by, I think one episode she got stuck in quicksand or something, so he transformed into a snake and he was able to pull her out.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
I know.
That's great logic.
It doesn't. They had to film all of the transformation, the animal scenes, on a soundstage because they couldn't do any, like, you couldn't have a snake out in the park or something, or at an apartment complex or a puma.
A panther running around.
Just running around Central Park.
So. And again, the show is called Manimal. He can turn into any animal, but I think honestly, in that one season, I think there was only like a couple of a hawk, the jaguar, and the snake. I don't think they had a whole lot of other animals he could turn into, like, because
that's all they had the budget for.
Exactly, we don't have a grizzly bear budget. Get out of here with that talk. I don't want that.
We can't do that.
We can't afford that. Not this season.
He can transform into any animal except for the ones we can't pay for.
Except for the ones we can't pay. Like an elephant.
Yeah.
Elephant money. Fired. He's fired. Get him out of here.
I forgot to mention this on the only backtrack to Knight Rider, Eddie. Remember Men with Mustaches? So this is Michael Knight and then his evil brother, Garth. You know what he has, Eddie? Look what he has.
Okay. You know he's evil. Evil.
And then Spock, we're just going to add some facial hair. Because men with mustaches are dangerous.
It's true.
Anyway.
See, my mom was right. She's like, avoid them.
Anyway, sorry.
Mom, Jesus has a beard. Don't use logic on me. Get out of here. Santa has a beard. And then Transformers. And you girls, I think, are familiar with that a little bit.
Very much so.
Yes. It's also a really catchy intro. I like how, I mean, because the other ones like smush it, like a lot of content into the intro, but I like how there's a nice catchy song playing, and then you get to see some cool action scenes of Transformers. I think it's great.
Yeah. I think they did the marketing trope where they just like repeat Manimal a bunch of times in order for us to remember it. You're not selling me that one. The choir in Transformers.
Mm-hmm. Like, when does that not get stuck in your head? I'm sure that it's going to be playing in my head for a while now that I've listened to Transformers.
Every kid on the playground the next day was Transformers.
Guys. Oh, yeah. Easy.
The Transformers stuck to the KISS ideology where keep it simple.
Yeah.
You know, they were like you said, Ruth, some catchy tunes, some robots fly in, the lyrics tell you what's going on.
Kids will buy it. They'll buy anything now.
Dumb kids will buy a toy.
So this was 1984 to 1987 on CBS. And the name Megatron was originally rejected by Hasbro for being too scary. The writer was tasked with naming the characters, argued that as a villain, his name should be scary.
They scratch off the original name, like Orphanage Destroyer. They're like, okay, I can't use that one.
I guess Orphan Maker.
Orphan Maker. That's great.
Yes.
Grandma Killer. Like,
let's see, Eddie, was it you? Oh, I guess it was the He-Man movie where you had your, but didn't you have your Optimus Prime figure in your lap as you watched the movie as Optimus Prime died?
Dude, I brought Optimus Prime to the theater. I was like, I am ready.
And then you brought it to the theater? Oh.
he's just getting caught with bullets, and I'm like, you didn't say he dies. Oh, God, I wasn't ready.
You just wasn't ready for this. Is it too soon, Eddie? Is it too soon?
It's too soon. It's been 40 years. It's too soon.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I think I already know where this is going to go, but Manimal or Transformers, ladies?
Transformers.
Yeah, I figured so. I had to throw Manimal in there. You got to give Manimal a chance.
It was great.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm educated on Manimal now.
No, yes. Yeah, very much.
I know when we're done here, you both are going to go on YouTube and find a couple of Manimal episodes and watch them.
I would actually watch an episode of Manimal. Just you got it. I'm curious. I would do it.
Ill-fated TV shows that didn't. If we're going to do that, then we got to turn them on to The Man from Atlantis, too.
Oh, yes. Like, oh, there's so many.
What funding? I'm so confused. Oh, my gosh.
So many bad TV shows back then.
But I love that for the 80s, though. Like, I would much rather bring that mentality back of just, like, such consistently, like, very, like, meticulously thought out plots to the point where it's like, this is so much that we can't do this anymore versus, like, the rinse and repeat that I feel like is happening.
The 80s gave no thought to plot. They were like, all ideas are good. Go. Like,
I love it.
Here's some money. Go make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. That's sick. That's cool.
They tried a bunch everything. Of cocaine.
They high-fived.
Have to bring the Coke era back.
This guy turns into a hawk and a panther. Cool, man. Do it.
Do it.
I love it.
We're going to do it.
Cocaine all over his lips. Go!
The guy is coming to the what he needs for the production. He's cocaine on his lips. I need a puma. I need a hawk, and I need a snake.
He's like, that's only makes sense. It's called Manimal, right?
And they don't even question. Like, oh, okay. You want a big snake? What color? You know.
No. Now that we're talking about this, imagine pitching that to like some
corporate
company.
Exec.
Like,
yeah.
I want to make a show about this guy who transforms into animals, which I think this would play out a lot better if it was not live action. If it was animated, I think it would be better.
Yeah. You're right. The Manimal cartoon series. That's what the fans are wanting.
What was the two kids?
The Wonder Twins.
A bucket. Yeah, right.
I love them.
Much longer.
One could be in any animal and one could turn into any water-based
I love how the other one is just like so hyper-specific, like a water thing.
But they got around it with ice bridge or ice prison.
Ice bucket. Yes. That was good. Okay. All right.
That's me. Terrible knots. Sorry.
So the next one is Star Trek Next Generation versus G.I. Joe. Ooh. So let's get this one going.
Both really iconic intros.
It's going to be a tough one, I think.
I'm torn on this one. I'm glad we're not voting, Lee, because we're already
I know. This one is tough. When I was watching it.
If ours would line up.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
That was a great theme.
So good.
So iconic.
Who, like, composed that one? Who wrote that one?
I was so ready. And now, right behind Star Trek, another iconic 80s intro.
Yo, Joe!
We'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe! G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe against
punch somebody.
The
enemy fighting to save the day. He never gives up. He's always there. Fighting for freedom over land and air. G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare. G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe.
Wow. You don't get any better. Both of those.
For real.
Pretty hard. Pretty difficult on those.
That is very hard.
Yeah, you got to notice. They had all those guns, and only the G.I. Joes were punching people.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
The only thing that got shot was a robot.
Good point, because you couldn't shoot humans in the 80s.
There's a great Community episode where they get brought into the G.I. Joe world. One of the characters in Community, they see Cobra coming, and he's like, "Why are you give me the gun?" And he just shoots Cobra Commander in the chest, and it ruins the entire show.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, he's in jail. They put him in jail. He's like, "You guys are at war, right? Like, I don't understand why shooting someone was bad. Like, we don't kill people; we punch them.
We punch them first."
Anyway, it was funny.
There was a lot of punches there. All right, so girls, did the both intros give you an idea about what the show is about?
Yes, I would say in different ways. One was more of a, you had to kind of process it a little bit more through the beautiful voice of Patrick Stewart, and the other one was more.
Oh, I forgot to ask, have you seen these, either one of these?
I don't know if I've seen much of G.I. Joe, actually. I've seen Star Trek.
How about you, Ruth?
I also haven't seen a lot of G.I. Joe. Well, maybe I have. I think I was a little bit younger when my brothers were watching G.I. Joe. But Star Trek, that stayed in the rotation of TV shows for a long time. I never wanted to watch Star Trek, but I got to watch a lot of Star Trek growing up because that's always what they wanted to watch.
Okay. So both of you have some familiarity with the show, so might be a little...
Is the background on either one of these regarding the...
Oh.
You got some background, Lee?
Yes. So Star Trek Next Generation came out in 1987, and it went through 1994. Started out on NBC and then went to Fox. Now, I have to give the story. I remember exactly when this came out. It was on a Friday night. I was supposed to have a football game. It was in September, but there was food poisoning at the cafeteria at the school. All the football players, myself included, were just horribly sick. And so I was home puking my guts out watching the first episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Oh, my gosh.
Kind of different on my end, but same. You're a little older than me, Lee. I wasn't in high school yet. In 87, I was 10. And I had just gotten done watching the entire original series over the summer of 87. It wasn't called the Sci-Fi Network back then, but it was some equivalent of the Sci-Fi Channel. And they were showing Star Trek Marathon over the summer. And I watched all of it. I think I watched all of it like twice over the summer. And so then they were like, "Hey, The Next Generation starting." And I'm like, "Say what? More Star Trek? What?" And so yours truly was like camped. I want to say where I was at. Because sometimes, depending on where you live, the shows showed differently. Remember that?
They did, yeah.
If you lived in the Midwest, it was Friday. If you lived in the East Coast, it was Thursday or something like that.
Yep.
And I think it was a Thursday night, and I was telling the entire... We had one TV. I was like, "We're watching Star Trek The Next Generation." And I just sat my butt down and watched it. I think I even had a thing of popcorn. I was that pumped. I'm like, this is... We're making some popcorn ready tonight. I was really good. And I was a fan. Hooks were in episode one.
Well, Gene Roddenberry, Gene Roddenberry created the first Star Trek, by the way. He didn't want Patrick Stewart to be Picard. He had somebody in mind younger. He wanted somebody younger with a full head of hair.
Too bald.
Yeah.
What? Because he's bald.
But the producer, Robert Justman, was so impressed with Stewart that he fought hard. And finally, Roddenberry relented and let Patrick Stewart be Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
I can't.
That'd be so weird.
This is where, like, Roddenberry was great in so many ways. In other ways, he was hopelessly stuck on his gotta look a certain way. Like, his Captain Pike thing, like, he wanted that all the time. Like, square-jawed, Lee Searcy-looking guy all the time. Couldn't have some bald English guy who's sipping tea. What?
It's like, we're not going to do that.
No. And then G.I. Joe, Daff, I didn't watch a lot of this when you were a kid.
Yeah.
But it was a fun cartoon, but it was very one note. I mean, it was every kind of what Lee was saying. It was every day was a new,
baddie to punch.
Well, it was just like Transformers. It was to sell action figures.
Yeah.
It was on from 1983 to 1986 on CBS. Larry Hama, who wrote a lot of the episodes, he also, now Eddie will know this, the file cards on the back of the action figures that gave him a little bio. So each action figure had the figure, but then it had a little bio on the back that would give them their name, their background, their specialty, and just a little story to go with it. And so he wrote those too. And I remember, and Eddie probably remembers, going to stores and just reading the backs of those and just analyzing every single action figure.
If you were a kid, I would say, in the 80s, because I knew girls that played with G.I. Joe. This is where the thing was. 80s tried so hard to market to boys and girls in different ways. And I knew a lot of girls who liked G.I. Joe, you know? And so it was just an interesting thing to where even then there were people still doing what they wanted. It was just marketing, and parents, too, back then couldn't quite wrap their head around a girl playing with a boy toy or vice versa. But I had a handful of G.I. Joes. They were fun.
Yeah.
You know, they were fun figures. My favorite was Shipwreck.
Yes.
I just liked him because he was a sailor and he was a little smart mouth on him.
The episodes were just bonkers and they were just cranking these out. You know, 30 episodes a year, or 26 episodes a year, actually.
That's a lot.
And they didn't have a lot of time. They had low budget. So one of them was even, I told my brother this and he didn't believe me, but there was a episode where Cobra was doing a telethon where you call in to donate money and they do a little show.
Yeah.
He didn't believe me. He's like, no. I'm like, no, it's real.
If you girls, this will be a fun little piece of homework for you at some point, even just for your own entertainment. Lee and I will find this. We'll send it to you somehow. The G.I. Joe movie.
Oh, yes.
The animated movie.
Okay.
Is the most bonkers thing you think you'd ever see in your life.
Yes.
Like, at first it starts off, you're like, oh, it's G.I. Joe. He's going to fight a bad guy. And then you're like, oh, man.
It
goes off the rails.
It goes off the rails.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I'd watch it.
You need to watch it. Well, maybe we'll have to watch it this weekend, Ruth.
Yes.
Your brothers have seen it, so they know. I showed it to them.
Subterranean secret societies, people getting snakes through their hearts.
Yes. Whoa. They go dark. Yeah. I mean,
well, it is a movie, so they can do that.
Again, you're watching it in the 80s and you're like, what happened?
No.
You guys were worried about
You notice, girls, the Transformers and G.I. Joe intro, a lot of similarities. It's very flashy, it's very fast moving.
Very much. Yeah.
Lots
right. Yeah. It was very, I'd say, one of the most action packed of the ones we've seen.
It's very busy.
Very.
Yes. A lot going on. A lot of colors.
Very flashy. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. Vote time. What is it going to be? Star Trek, The Next Generation, or G.I. Joe? What do you think?
I'm going to say Star Trek for me.
Okay.
I'm also going to say Star Trek.
Okay.
Not just because of like prior like familiarity. It's just like, it's so intriguing. And I could see like how in the 80s that would be so like jarring because of it's kind of, it's, and the effects look good to me right they now, do. Too. Like,
they do.
I don't know.
They hold up. They hold up.
Like, Patrick Stewart's voice, it's like, oh, it's tantalizing. Then you see the Enterprise just, like, go off, and then the music comes up. It's just, like, oh.
Very elegant.
I would tune in every week.
Yes. Elegant, that's a great word to describe it.
Ooh, very.
It's both simple, too. They're not trying. I mean, obviously, like, the CGI animation of the ship was definitely not simple to do, I'm guessing. But it's just like, it's just a ship flying through space, and then you get a little monologue, and that's it. And then you get this really great theme that's composed very well and really memorable, and there's your intro.
Do you understand what the show's about?
No, I would say I understand what the show is about, but I get, like, a pace, like, to go where, yeah, no one has gone before. Yeah, it's just, it kind of gives you a little sprinkle. It's like,
it's tempting you. It makes you want to watch it.
Yeah.
Eddie, you'll remember if you watched the Picard series, I assume you watched that,
yeah,
where redo the first Enterprise. That was amazing. I mean, it was a nostalgia play, and my opinion on the season 3 was, it was okay, but that episode or that part was, it was so nostalgic, I guess.
I agree. I feel like in Picard, and I've said this to everybody. I'm like, any Star Trek, this is how big of a fan I am. Any Star Trek is good Star Trek.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't like criticizing it too hard, because then they'll make it go away. So I'm like, no, anything. Yeah. But I have versions I like better. But I think each season of Picard progressively got less good. That's just my feeling.
I agree.
Season one was great. Season two was pretty good. And season three, I was like, okay, we're doing this. I mean, whatever, you know. And fun fact for the girls, this is where I'm going to be a little obnoxious. I hope I'm not too obnoxious. That ship that you saw on there was not CGI. That was an actual physical model.
Was it a minifigure?
It was a model. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, a mini. The ship, the model they built for the ship was about 8 to 12 feet long, something like that.
It's
an actual ship. They just had the camera mounted on an arm. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. No, you can go. I'm like, it was like a stop motion then?
No.
What? How did? Oh, I'm confused. Wait. Okay. It was mounted on an arm, and then what did they do with it?
They just moved the camera around.
Camera
the ship.
Moves, not the ship.
Not the ship. Like, the ship stuck.
Blast off though.
Practical effects where they're kind of just editing it.
You know, like when the Star Destroyers are going, that's just a camera moving underneath the ship or beside it or whatever.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was some kind of effect like that, because they did that in Lord of the Rings for a lot of, like, the shots. And since it is older, I was wondering if that's how they did it, because I'm like, it looks like a really great, I didn't think it was animated, but I'm like, but that's, I don't know. Yeah. That's what we're used to seeing now. So I just assumed that.
Yeah. And you weren't wrong, girls, like in the 80s, because there wasn't a whole lot of really good TV effects like that. So you're seeing that, and my 10-year-old brain was blown. I was like, this is real.
Are they in space right now? Yeah.
For a show back then, it was expensive to do some of the effects that they did. It cost a lot of money back then, especially. So it was a well-funded show. Mm-hmm. So, and it was popular, too.
It did
too.
Well.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. All right. So we're at the second round, semifinals here, ladies. Okay. Turbo Teen versus Dungeons and Dragons.
Ooh,
what do you think?
That's kind of hard.
That is kind of hard. I have mine, but I don't know if Ruth is not ready.
I think if we're doing like something that actually fully explains what's going on, / something I would probably watch, it would be Dungeons and Dragons.
So D&D is more compelling, you think?
Yeah. But I am a fantasy gal. I like anything fantasy. So
yeah.
I'm gonna say Turbo Teen.
There we go. It's split. Like, I love it. Because
it's an acid trip.
It's like very surreal, and not to say that Dungeons and Dragons is not, because it very, very much well is, but he turns into a car and he's got his head on the front of it. Like, it's just very like dark, like uncanny, like even it being animated, I'm like, oh gosh. And like, I like how short-lived it was too, to hear about that, which I guess is kind of like cheating, because not doesn't pertain to the intro, but
I just pictured them opening the hood, there's a heart and rib cage in there, and they're like, oh my god.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack with it. The plot holes, that's so good. I love it.
It is the 80s, so it was a cocaine-induced idea.
Really?
All right. So we'll flip. Heads will be Turbo Teen. Tails will be Dungeons & Dragons. So we'll flip here.
Here we go.
Turbo Teen it is.
Oh!
For the win.
Wow, Turbo Teen.
So we're at the semifinals. All right, let's go to the other side. So Turbo Teen versus Star Trek, The Next Generation, or Transformers. What do you think?
This one is also hard.
This one's very hard.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about it, I don't know, because they're good in different ways, because the Star Trek one is nice and simple, but still keeps you engaged enough that you want to keep watching. But Transformers has a really great, iconic intro that's super catchy, and you're going to be singing that all day long.
Yeah.
They're like great.
Lots of eye candy.
They're great for different reasons. Star Trek is elegant and beautiful. Transformers just gets in your head and it won't go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Star Trek's like a nice, like, steak dinner. You're like, oh, this is nice. This is well thought out. And Transformers is like eating all your Halloween candy at once. You're just like,
You love it and you hate it at the same time, you know?
My teeth hurt.
Well, it's up to the young people, the young folk.
Oh. They're just so different in how they're. Because these are like two different.
Eddie, we need to quote Transformers. One shall stand, one shall fall.
One shall fall. You got to think in a way, like, which to you jumps out as a iconic.
As a 10, 11-year-old kid in the 80s, which one would just catch you?
Yeah.
If I was a kid, it would be Transformers.
Oh, iconic. What do you mean?
The dilemma. The stress.
Oh.
I can't make decisions. I'm a president, to quote Spaceballs.
No wrong answers. Exactly.
No, I feel like.
So, Ruth, you think Transformers? Or
I think Transformers. I think that's the one I'm going to go with.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Star Trek, because, yeah.
I love it.
We'll go heads, Transformers, tails, Star Trek.
Here we go.
Star Trek.
Oh!
Star Trek. That's still a good choice.
Still a good choice.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right. Guys, this is hard. This is a hard one.
I never would have thought that it would end this way.
Now again,
Star Trek.
I feel like these intros, in a way, need to stand on their own.
Okay.
More
so.
Like, does this capture the imagination? Does this make you feel like you're watching something truly from the 80s?
Oh, you know, there's more being added to this. Okay, wait.
No, I'm sorry. Which do you like better? Let's just keep it that simple.
Okay, let's play it one more time, okay? So you can kind of get the feel of it here. We'll start with
Turbo
Teen. Turbo
Teen again.
Yeah, who doesn't want to watch Turbo Teen again?
Right.
Okay, let me unmute it here. Okay.
Metal. It was a stormy night when a bolt of lightning forced me off the road. My car skidded into a government laboratory where a top-secret experiment was underway. I swerved into the path of Dr. Chase's...
I like how he just flies off the road into whatever this Toby that is.
The incredible Turbo Teen!
And it's apparently painless. He's not screaming as it's happening.
As he's turning into a car. Yeah, can you feel stuff when he's a car? Like, can you feel people sitting on him?
I guess.
Does he need gas? Like a normal car? There's so many questions.
So many questions. Okay, so let's go to Star Trek. Next Generation here. What a contrast.
They really did the transition, like, from planets to stars and nebula, all very just beautifully.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
Huh.
Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds.
Oh, yeah. True.
To seek out new life and new civilizations.
If you look it up online, it's incredibly detailed.
No one has gone before.
I wonder how big it is in real life. It must be pretty, pretty
like
big. Said,
it's like 8 to 10
detail.
Feet. It's a good size.
Because I feel like both of the intros invoke such like different feelings too.
They do.
Like, Turbo Teen makes me feel like I'm on cocaine, and like, I want to like
I agree.
Jump in the screen and like see where they're going, you know. So I don't know.
Any strong opinions one way or the other? If you're like, well, I'm like 60-40, this or that, or
are we saying like? Truly as an intro.
Yeah. Yeah, it's truly as an intro. This is just intros only. Nothing to do with what you've heard or seen, you know, about the show.
Yeah, this is a hard one. Because also Turbo Teen is just so goofy too. Like even the first 10 seconds, you know, he goes flying off a road and lands in a facility.
A government facility. I'm like, oh, I love it.
He's holding up his driver's license. Yeah, freedom.
Ah! Okay, I'm voting for Turbo Teen.
All right, one vote for Turbo Teen. What do you think, Ruth?
Not to split it again, but I vote for Star Trek. I think it's just
okay.
Man,
I like Star Trek. I like that intro. It's a good one.
It's a great intro, though. I love it.
We'll do heads, Turbo Teen, tails, Star Trek.
Guys, the stakes are so high for this.
I'm nervous.
Here we go. Tails, Star Trek.
Ooh.
Star Trek
Stop
wins.
Star Trek.
There's our winner. Star Trek, the Next
Here
Generation.
We go.
Yay.
Well done. You got some applause in there. Get some Randy Savage in here.
Yeah, we got to get some Randy Savage in there.
What do you say about that one?
And now we know more.
Yay.
That's great.
We had to learn.
You know, girls, when we were making these lists up, we had so many TV shows and cartoons we wanted to do. So we have to do another round, another episode of this.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
And then them up against Star
Trek. We got He-Man. We got Thundercats. We got Magnum P.I.
Yeah, Miami Vice. I mean, there's a lot of live action. Miami Vice has a good soundtrack.
This is
just what young ladies want to do on a Friday is hang out with their dads and watch TV intros from the 80s.
I mean, it's a fun time. Yeah. So memorable.
Yes.
No, entirely. Yeah.
It's unique.
And Eddie will appreciate this. So remember when you're watching cartoons, we always had to learn something. So we're going to learn something right now, ladies. So get ready. Here we go.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm ready.
1980s.
Health tips.
Uh-oh, young Tommy is smoking a cigarette, creating his own smoke cloud.
I'm dope.
Tommy's
look
up
at
to
me.
Bat. Tommy smokes because he thinks it makes him look grown up, but watch what smoking does for him. That coughing is one thing. It keeps him from playing his best.
You're out!
Don't smoke. It doesn't make you grown up. It makes you a loser.
Wow.
Meanwhile,
Superman was called him a loser.
Every adult we knew smoked.
Oh my God.
Eddie, Superman just told you you're a loser.
He's like, you're a loser. Like, Dad, Uncle Wayne, you're a loser.
Superman said so. He told me himself.
Yeah.
The PSAs were so good.
I
they were trying
amazing.
So hard.
Keeping him off the streets.
This is the same era, girls, where at 10 at night, they would air a thing that said, it's 10 p.m., do you know where your children are? They had to remind our parents that they had kids.
That's
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's 10 p.m., do you know where your children are?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got kids.
It's like, oh no.
I should check up on them.
Meanwhile, by the railroad tracks, me and Lee are just dancing on them.
Dancing on the tracks, playing with sharp objects.
Yeah. Smoking.
Smoking, yeah. Breaking glass.
Losing at baseball.
Eating toast in the bath.
Yeah.
Exactly. Toaster in the bathtub. I will not lie. I'm happy that one of my favorite shows has made it to the final.
Oh, yes.
The best 80s intro of our first episode of this.
Yes.
I agree.
It deserves to be there.
It does.
It really does.
So does Turbo Teen, but you know.
Turbo Teen is good. It, like Daph said, you feel like you've just gone into some drug fueled reality where you're like, okay, I guess this is just happening.
Maybe here's an idea. If we do say 3 more episodes, we'd have 4, and then we can pit the 4 winners against each other.
Yeah.
Love to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about Eddie, but I really enjoy sharing nostalgia with my kids. And so I hope you girls had a good laugh, if nothing else, at the stuff Eddie and I grew up with.
Now we are more educated.
Yes.
On 80s TV.
You know about obscure shows like Manimal and Turbo Teen. I guarantee you, your peers have no idea what you're talking about.
I will live a happier life. I should show Manimal to people. That would actually be really funny. I should start showing it to people.
If you want to just still have friends, I wouldn't recommend it. Like, I think, Ruth, you mentioned something, a line from Karate Kid to one of your college friends, and they're like, what are you talking about? They had no idea.
I don't even know what it was. I think it was like wax on, wax off. I had to tell them.
They didn't know
that. It's like the most iconic line from the movie.
Oh, yeah.
The A-Team, Lee.
Oh, yeah, 18.
I said this at work one time. I was like, I love it when a plan comes together. And then I waited for it. And one of the guys who probably are Ruth and Daphne's age, he goes, is this one of these dumb 80s things? I was like, It is.
Oh, my God.
Well, we better cut out here, put a pin in this one, and get done. But I really appreciate all of you, Eddie, Daphne, and Ruth, in indulging the nostalgia and having a little bit of fun too. So, all right.
Yeah. No, it's a pleasure to be on the show, as always.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. And thank you to the listener. And until next time, nerd it up.